remember, we will never forget, because it's so easy, sadly, for us to forget that the freedom that we enjoy was paid for with the lives of other people. You know, I mean, it's easy for us to forget that the freedom that Jesus offers us, that he paid for with his life. He offered it to us as he died on the cross. And it's so easy in our world today to just get so caught up in everything and forget. And so I challenge you tomorrow, you know, as we remember in Memorial Day, remember, you know, take time to think about what it costs and what it means for us. Because real love, my first point, if you put up the first slide, Joe, my first point is that real love always involves sacrifice. Jesus showed us that, and he said it in John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than a man to lay down one's life for his friends. And we have been honored by men and women throughout the years that have laid down their lives so that we could be free. And I'm thankful for that. John 10:17-18 is important for us to know. Jesus laid down his life. When he went to the cross, it was a choice that he made long from the very beginning. In John 10:17-18, Jesus said, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." So, of course, when Jesus lay dying on the cross, he was still God. He could have called angels to rescue him. He didn't have to hang there, but he chose to. And so he said, "I lay it down of myself." That's why after he said, "It is finished," he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Because it was a choice that he made because of love. The word "lay down" means to place in a passive posture. In other words, he laid down his rights. He laid down his, you know, everything that he had in order to give us life. In today's culture, love is a word that is used on so many. We use it for so many things. We use it for, we love this television show, and I love this ice cream, and I love to clean my house, and I love blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe not to clean my house, but, you know, I love all of these things, you know. But Jesus, when he was talking about love, it was a strong, intense word. He explains to us in 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible explains to us what real love is. But real love always involves sacrifice. Because in today's culture, love is confused with lust, with greed, with selfishness, with idolatry. But if we want to understand real love, it begins with God. In 1 John 4:7-10, I want us to read that. Because this defines God. God does not just give love. The Bible says he is love. And when Rick was talking about that this morning, God is love. That is what he is. That's who he is. And so it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins," which is a big word that basically just means that God was angry at sin. A lot of people think that God is just love and he just doesn't ever punish sin and he doesn't, you know, believe in punishment. No, God is love, but he is also just. And because he is just, he does punish sin. And we believe, because the word clearly says, and because Jesus clearly spoke about hell, that hell is a real place. And that if we choose to live apart from how God commands us to live, then hell's a place that we are choosing by our choices to go to. It's not people, "Well, God is so mean. Why does God send people to hell?" God made everything possible for us to choose to go to heaven, but we have to choose. He doesn't just wave his hand and decide for everybody. We have a choice. And because of that choice, we have to make decisions. And propitiation means that God's wrath against sin was taken on the cross by Jesus. My 2-year-old, almost 3-year-old Jude, has entered a phase in which he just has very strong opinions. He has always had strong opinions, but the problem is now his opinions are crossing with ours. And, you know, when I tell him to go to your room or to, you know, no, you can't have that right now, I mean, just the fireworks ensue. He's already very dramatic, and he will literally throw himself on the floor, you know, and throw himself on the floor. And so we have had to punish him, not because I don't like him, not because, you know, I'm in a bad mood or because I'm angry, but because I know that if I do not handle it at 2, when he's like Josiah and he's taller than me and bigger than me, you know, it's going to be a lot harder. I'll be standing there shaking my finger in his face. You know, I mean, and so I'm trying by God's grace to handle it with him now at 2. And, you know, because I'm still big enough. The truth is, if he doesn't do what I tell him to, I just pick him up like a football and carry him. You can ask my children, carry him kicking and screaming and deposit him on his bed, you know, and until, you know, we can handle it. But listen, that's not because I'm mean. That's because I care about him and I want him to make right choices. God is angry at sin. And when my children sin, when they disobey what I've commanded them to do, it makes me angry. And we need to understand we were created in God's image. When God commands us to do something, number one, he is God. He's allowed to do that. You know, in our society today where everybody thinks I can do what I want and you can't tell me what to do, the truth is God can. I mean, he is God and he created us and he has the right to tell us what to do. But also if we understand everything that he tells us is for our ultimate good. When I tell Jude, you cannot run in the road. You are this big and a car might not see you. I mean, it's not because I'm on a power trip. It's because I know that it's dangerous for him. And everything that God tells us is for a reason. And when God commands us to do or not to do certain things and we ignore him, there is punishment for that. And so that punishment was put on Jesus on the cross. So that we had opportunity to choose to say to God, God, I have sinned. I have done wrong against you. God, I don't deserve your forgiveness or heaven. But because of what Jesus did, he paid for all of us to be able to go to heaven. He took the punishment for our sin. If one, I think, you know, I try to take Jude to the room, you know, to discipline him. Because if I spank him in front of the kids, like, they feel bad. Of course, if I'm carrying him like a football, they're typically laughing. They're like, you know, I mean, they don't really feel bad then. But if I spank him and he cries, they feel bad, you know, because they care about him. And that's a good thing. But we have to understand that God gave us a choice because he loves us, but we have to choose. We have to choose. I want us to read Romans 5, though, verse 6 through 8. When we choose to accept what God is giving us, the choice that he has given us, we get heaven in return and we get relationship with Jesus. Romans 5:6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When Jude is acting up, I have never yet had one of my older children say, "Mom, just spank me instead." You know, I know he needs a spanking because he's being bad. Just spank. Thankfully, they're all way too old to get spankings anyway. You know, the other ones. But, you know, thankfully, they have never said that to me. They've never offered to take the punishment for Jude because he's being bad. This is what Jesus did. Jesus stepped in and said, "I will take the punishment." And the truth is, he was the only one. Although my children could offer to do that, it wouldn't do any good. I wouldn't spank them instead of him because I wouldn't accomplish anything. And they have their own flaws and they have to deal with their own punishment over what they've done. Jesus never made a mistake. He didn't have any flaws. He never would have gotten in trouble on his own. So when he came in and stepped in and took our punishment for the things that we've done wrong, when we really understand that, we realize, wow, God, you really loved me and you are worth obeying you and surrendering my life to you. And so this verse said, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm going to show you just a little clip, about a minute and a half, from the movie Hacksaw Ridge. And if you've never seen it, it's the story of Desmond Doss, who went to Hacksaw Ridge as a soldier, and he was a medic. And he, during the night, when all of his company had retreated, he stayed up on Hacksaw Ridge and crawled through the people, saving those that were wounded. And then he fashioned this rope, and he would lower them down. You'll see in the movie how far down it was. All night long, he did that by himself. And he lowered man after man. In fact, in the movie, they say, when they're describing what he did, they said he even lowered a few Japs down. They didn't make it. You don't know if they killed him once they made it down after Desmond lowered him, or if they, didn't make it down. Desmond, because of the love that he had for God, and because of the calling that God put, that he felt the reason that he was there was to save people, God used him. And so God demonstrated his love toward us while we were still sinners, before we had it all together, before we knew what we should be doing. God offered us relationship with him. They say 75 because he estimated 50 and the men estimated 100. So they said in between, they went right in between. And exhausted, but caring enough about the people, I can only imagine what Jesus did on the cross when he suffered for us, thinking, Lord, just one, he would have done it if it was just you or if it was just me. That's so hard for me to imagine. But if Desmond Doss, who was an imperfect human, would sacrifice himself in order to go and get one more, when he was exhausted, when his hands were bleeding, when he was, putting his life at risk every minute in order to get one more and lower them down to safety, we need to understand what Jesus went through and how much he loved us in order to do that. That while we were still sinners, while we were still shaking our fists going at God saying, I don't have to do what you tell me to do. I will do what I feel like doing when I feel like doing it. God still loved us. He was still offering us his forgiveness, his grace, his love. Real love begins with God. He is the one who showed us what love is. And that is why Desmond could do what he did, because Jesus showed love to him first. The last one, which I skipped over the second PowerPoint, but real love involves selflessness. Jesus didn't sacrifice just for his disciples, just for those who followed him. He didn't die just for those who believed in him. He sacrificed his life even for those who would reject him. And even for his disciples who had walked with him all that time and yet denied him on the night that he needed him the most. I have to admit, though, Peter's story has given me so much hope. Because, he denied Jesus after walking with Jesus for 3 years, after seeing the miracles that Jesus did, after seeing him, be transfigured on the mountain, he still denied him in a moment of weakness. I have, through my actions, denied God in a moment of weakness. And I am so grateful that Jesus didn't give up on Peter because of that moment of weakness. And Peter went on to become a great man of God. Listen, we can understand real love in relationship with Jesus. And it comes in the midst of our moments of weakness. It comes in the midst of the times when we need his grace and we need his forgiveness. It comes in the moments when we're missing it, but also it comes when we choose to obey him and we say to God, yes, God, your way is best. I will obey you. Jude, whenever he gets his attitude straight, he'll come out and his whole attitude has changed. And he'll say, I be nice, mommy. And I'm like, okay, this is good. Sometimes it takes us, some time. And I just challenge you. God is worth it. He is worth it. John 10, 17 and 18. I want to read that again. Jesus said, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. The Bible says Jesus only did the will of the Father because he loved the Father. And Jesus said, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. John 14, 15 through 17. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. A lot of people say, oh, I love God. He knows my heart. He knows that I love him. The truth is, if we love God, we will keep his commandments. That's what his word says. And we don't get to just make up our own gospel that works for us. We have to take what the word says and believe it like it says it. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he goes on, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. When we were talking during worship and what Janine was talking about and what Rick was talking about, I'm telling you, relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit that lives within us, it is the best gift there is. To know that I don't have to figure things out by myself. When I'm in a situation where I don't know what to do, whether it's with my finances or with the church or with my children or with my husband or with, you know, myself and just dealing with situations, it is such a gift to know that I don't have to figure it out on my own, that I can look to Almighty God and that he will give me wisdom and show me what to do. And he dwells within us to give us that wisdom. So a lot of people say that they love God, but they live their lives completely ignoring his commandments. Jesus died to bring us freedom, but we can't experience his freedom if we don't accept the life he offers. So in just a minute, we're going to listen to a song. I'm going to read two more verses, and then we're going to listen to this song. The song that we're going to listen to is a prayer of mine. In fact, many times just sitting in my house, including this morning, I just sat there singing this song in my head because it's a prayer that I pray recognizing how much I need him on a regular basis. 1 John 4:19, though, says, we love him because he first loved us. We have to remember throughout the Christian life, no matter where you are today spiritually, we love him because he first loved us. It always starts with him. The love always starts with him. We don't just wake up one day and realize we do that because he loves us and because he draws us and because he causes us to see. But we can't walk in relationship with him without surrender. Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 24 through 27, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And this is Matthew 19, verse 24 and 25. I love that Jesus, and I've said this lots of times before, Jesus never did a bait and switch. He didn't come and say, just come and follow me. You don't really have to do anything. You can just live how you want to, and it'll always be easy, and, you know, nothing is required of you. He laid it out from the beginning, and then he let people choose. And this is what he did with his disciples. He said, if you want to come and follow me, which I will tell you is the only way to heaven, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, then let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Verse 26, for what profit is to a man or to a woman, this is talking about humankind, of course, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. There is coming a reward. Sometimes a lot of people think that when they stand before God, God will just weigh the good versus the bad. And then based on how much good you have versus how much bad you have, you know, we'll decide. All of us, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have too much bad in order to enter heaven, because no sin can go into heaven. And none of us, based on our good works, can go to God and say, God, I have done these good things. I deserve heaven. If we could do that, then Jesus' death on the cross was completely irrelevant. If I could get to heaven based on what I have done and based on being a good person and doing some good things and being nice to people and giving a little bit here and doing some charity things, if I could do that, then Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. The only way to heaven is through his death on the cross, understanding what he did. And when I truly understand what he did for me, then I'm willing to offer my life because he's worth it. And it's the best way to live anyway. He said that he will reward each according to his works. I'm going to tell you, if I was rewarded only to the works, only by the works that I have done of myself, I would be in a dangerous place. Because a lot of, I've learned, even the good things that I do, I have ulterior motives. You know, without Jesus, I do it so that people will see what I'm doing, or so that they'll like me, or so that, you know, somebody will do something back for me. But when I am surrendered to the Lord Jesus and I offer all that I am and all that I do unto him, he purifies me and in the process purifies the reason why I do the things that I do. And then he shows me when I'm doing things for the wrong reasons so that I can get it straight. Walking with him is a wonderful gift. So this morning, we've talked about love, we talked about sacrifice, and we talked about surrender. We have communion today, which I thought was actually really fitting, because tomorrow we're going to remember those who have sacrificed for our freedom. Today, we remember the one who sacrificed for our eternal freedom. And so as we take communion today, we get to remember what Jesus did. But I want to read you a couple of verses before we play this song, because there is a way that we take communion. 1 Corinthians 11, it says, I received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats or drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So we're going to take a minute and we're going to listen to this song. And I just challenge you, if you are not right with the Lord Jesus, if you have not surrendered your life to him, if it has been a long time and you know that you need to get things straight between you and God, you don't have to come to the front. We will be up here. You can come to the front and we would be glad to pray with you. But you don't have to. You can get it straight in your seat. But I will tell you this. This Christian life was not meant to be lived in secret by yourself. We surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus, and then we obey his command to fellowship with one another, to get baptized, to do all of these things because we love him. So I just challenge you, if as this song plays, it is true for you, and you can sing this song or pray this song or, you know, think this song out as a surrender to the Lord. The Bible says that if we confess Jesus as Lord, we will be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Bible says, for with the mouth man, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we do encourage people to come and pray, but really it is about you and God. It is about you confessing your life to Jesus as the Lord of your life. Lord means supreme in authority. So when we surrender our lives, when we get saved, when we become a Christian, those terms mean I am saying to Jesus, I am going to obey what your word says because I am offering my life to do your will. Because you offered your life so that I could have freedom, so that I could have joy, so that I could have peace, so that I could have heaven. I'm telling you, it is the best way to live. But as this song plays, I encourage you, if you are not right with the Lord and you need prayer, we would be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to pray with you after as well. But if you are a Christian, Just allow the Lord to search your heart. Say, God, is there anything that I need to get straight between me and you? Because 1 John 1:9, which I love, says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. None of us would be able to live this Christian life if there wasn't forgiveness for sin. But when we confess it, when we say to God, God, I did this wrong. I lived this wrong way. I said this. I handled the situation wrong. Will you forgive me? The Bible says that he will forgive us. And we don't have to live in guilt or shame. We can live in his grace and in his forgiveness. So I know I read a lot more scriptures than I said I was going to. But as this song plays, allow it to be your prayer.